Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We're broadcasting live from the Military Women's Memorial here in Washington, D.C., as we get ready for the 125th edition of Army Navy, brought to you, presented by USAA. So we are having a good time
USAA.
Out here. That's right. Do the whole ad for them. But right now, it is still a football Friday. We're still hitting you with all the stuff that you need to hear. So let's get around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Got extra game day tickets? Turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Town fans looking for seats. That's Quick Assist, Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T, your ticket everywhere. We begin with possibly a little bit of schadenfreude.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound? And if you don't know what that is, let's laugh at other people's pain. as the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to have their tight end, Evan Engram, undergo surgery for a torn labrum in his left shoulder. So he'll miss the rest of the season.
Karma.
According to Doug Peterson. What was that?
Karma.
Okay, yeah. If you somehow forgot, right, the incident, that had Azeez Al-Shaair eventually suspended for three games, the real hubbub after the hit itself was begun by one, Evan Engram, right?
Karma.
That is one of the things that was very frustrating about that.
What are you trying to say, Figgy?
Hey, karma.
Yeah. I think he's been pretty clear about that one. Like, obviously, the hit itself, right? And we've litigated this up and down. I understand, but the hit itself, right, deserved some level of punishment. But it felt like the punishment went over and beyond because of all of the other extracurriculars.
Yeah.
And that started with Evan Engram, right? And understanding, like, he's going to defend his players. But the Jaguars seem to keep that thing going, and so it does kind of feel a little bit like karma that you're like, hey. Y'all made this bigger than it was. It felt like our guy caught all the beef for it, or all the heat for it.
So we're saying a dude out for the season is karma?
I mean, maybe.
Hey.
Is that what we're doing?
I was just relaying the message from
somebody. Oh, really? From who?
What are you doing right now?
Me. Karma.
But no, Evan Engram will be out for – I mean, that's a team that's out of the running. Like, they're just they don't have anything to play for. He has found himself, though. Like, he's bounced around various teams, and it felt like none of them used him well.
No.
Seems like he's gotten the most – they've gotten the most out of him there in Jacksonville. Stinks that they haven't been able to get anything. So I hate to see it for you.
Somewhat related to this, somewhat, if you stretch and squint a little bit, You know, on the Aziz Al-Shaair thing, I guess there was reporting yesterday, was it Aaron Wilson? I forget who it was. That the $9 million guaranteed to Al-Shaair because of the suspension is no longer guaranteed.
I'm so interested to see how the organization would treat this. Like, of course, so that takes away the guarantees. Of course, the $9 million is still available to him to be earned.
Yeah.
But especially with the amount of righteous indignation that Caserio came with, maybe to a little bit lesser degree, D'Amico Ryan, but he defended his guy. Don't get me wrong. With the way that this organization as a whole rallied around him, I do wonder how they play that if, like, for some odd reason, he does not clear whatever hurdles are necessary to get that $9 million, if they don't still come with it and make sure that he gets that just because the technicality has avoided the guarantee.
It's a brutal business, and there are organizations that might look at this as favorable if things don't work out. The Texans are not that organization.
Yeah.
The Texans will find a way.
They're going to find a way to look out for him.
To look out for him. But, you know, just – to put it out there, it is a fact now. That $9 million is no longer guaranteed. So
I'm curious.
That just makes him more mad.
Yeah, I'm curious how they're going to do that, though.
Yeah.
Is it going to try to work the salary cap a little bit? Or
just keep him around? I don't know.
Hey, just donate $9 million to his.
Oh, well, no, you can't circumvent the salary cap.
Hey, $9 million to his foundation or something.
That's salary cap circumvention.
I want that in my pocket. I'll give you some of the foundation.
You can't do that.
Let's give $9 million to his wife as a gift.
All right.
There we go.
I don't like what you're doing here right now. Some guys didn't like what happened last night, Thursday Night Football. And look, I'm going to be abundantly honest. I did not watch a second of this game. Now, of course, it wasn't straight negligence.
We was on the flight.
We had a flight, right? We were in the air. And the internet didn't seem like it was working on the flight anyway.
Yeah,
I couldn't get that. So, like, even if I wanted to. And apparently, we did not miss much. A 12-6 final in favor of the Los Angeles
Rams. We got off the flight. It was 3-3 starting in the third quarter. In the third quarter.
Yeah,
and we still had to, like, navigate our way through D.C. to get to the hotel and everything. So, we missed it. However, it seems like we didn't miss much. This is the first game this season. I don't know if you realize. Mm-hmm. Where there was no touchdowns in the game.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy, man.
That is wild to consider.
I don't see how that happens in today's NFL. Now, it was raining and all that, but still. I mean, it's not new. It's not new to play in rain.
Man, you had a Browns game that was exciting with all that snow, man.
Yeah.
Like, they were scoring.
Exactly.
Yeah, so and a little bit of an oddity there, but what was more odd than a low-scoring game where you don't get – I mean – Puka Nacua had 97 yards, interestingly enough, although that was a majority of Matt Stafford's 160 yards through the air. Kyron Williams had 108. But what the hell happened in this game?
What happened to Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, that is a great point, right? Cooper Kupp just really did not have any.
He ran yards. I just saw this in the last break. He ran 2.7 miles last night in routes.
So he was literally just getting cardio.
Just running.
Just getting cardio. Three targets, no catches, right?
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there. Again, this game ultimately does not feel like it is all that notable for anything, except for this thing that happened afterwards, during the game at least. Dre Greenlaw was returning from injury. He's Fred Warner's running mate there in the linebacking core, and he was returning and, you know, went back to starting. And the man who had been manning that spot, Devondre Campbell, obviously then relegated to being on the bench. However, Dre Greenlaw, I think, leaves the game at that point. The next guy up, who I guess was not Devon Campbell in that moment, is the next guy up, and he has to leave that game or what have you. And what I do recall, though, Devondre Campbell was the man that was supposed to be on the field at some point, except we see that he puts a towel on his head and he leaves the game. And so this is brought up to Kyle Shanahan afterwards to get an accounting for what happened with Devondre Campbell.
Happened with Devondre Campbell. He didn't play, and he went into the locker room at some point.
Yeah, he didn't said he didn't want to play today.
Play today?
Yep.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in. So.
During the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
Has that ever happened to you where a player said they didn't want to play in a game?
No.
He got demoted for this game, right? He was not going to play?
No, he was going to go in when Dre came out.
Were you released, Devondre Campbell?
I don't. We'll figure out something, but I don't know that right now.
Did he give you any reason why he didn't play today?
No.
Campbell, I mean, to hear players say, I don't want to play today, does that create dissension, especially knowing that at this point in the season, with the type of season that this has started out to be, you kind of need as much camaraderie as possible to be successful. Does that create dissension amongst the team, or did it not really affect anyone? No one really noticed.
People notice, but... when someone says that you move on. Don't deal with that anymore.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, just
gosh,
very quick answers. But yeah. Like, it's not like they were quick. He was hiding anything. He showed his hands pretty clearly. He was not pleased with Devondre Campbell.
No, that's a dead man walking right there.
Right.
I mean, that is 100%. That is one of the cardinal sins of the world in the NFL is like, nah, I quit. It reminded me of the cornerback.
Was that Vontae Davis?
Yeah. Vontae Davis. Rest in peace, Vontae Davis.
Yeah,
go, no, at least,
man,
he retired.
Yeah, he retired.
But yeah. He retired in the middle of the game.
In the middle of the game.
I'm doing your move.
And that wasn't a, oh, y'all not playing me, so I'm
no,
upset.
No, he's just like, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they talked about how he made a play. Yeah. He made a play.
He just made a play.
A fourth down.
And it just
wasn't in the
moment. When it hits you, you're like, oh, I'm not good for this.
When
no
it
more.
Goes, hey, it goes fast.
The game ain't in me no more.
It ain't in me no more. Shout out to Cuddy. But, yeah, that's a different situation. I found this interesting, though, because I feel like if you knew that you were suiting up but you felt some type of way, wouldn't you have, like, addressed this or done something before the game as opposed to doing this in the middle of the game? Or maybe just this was one of those spur of the moment. Yeah. Like, we've all seen somebody quit their job in the middle of the
Like, why
work.
Did you even come in?
Right.
Just to leave, like, within 30 minutes.
He was pouting. He was. I mean, it's as clear as day. He was pouting, and he was not professional, and he is going to be cut.
Well, hey. And one of the questions in there was, like, does this cause dissension in the team? It does not seem so. Like, listen here to Charvarius Ward, who is a cornerback for that Niners team that admittedly the Niners have been in a tough way, right? Yeah. Does it sound like he is, you know, supporting Devondre Campbell at all in this?
I mean, he's a professional. He's been playing for a long time. I mean, if he didn't want to play, he shouldn't have dressed out. You know, he could have told him that before the game. So I feel like there was some suck that he did. Definitely hurt the team because, you know, D went down. And we needed a linebacker, you know. And I think Flynn was named up too. So for him to do that, that's some sucker stuff to me, in my opinion. Like, it's probably going to get cut soon. So, you know, it is what it is with that.
That was pretty good at the end there.
Probably
he's
going to
be cut
soon.
I ain't worried about it.
And there's more audio. I don't have to run all of it, but it seems like everybody on the team was just like, I don't want to play with a dude like that.
Yeah. Hey, no, everybody.
I want to ask y'all the question that everybody been kind of throwing out there. Houston?
No.
Absolutely not. And
Houston?
You want to know why?
Nick Caserio, make the call.
Like, okay, talent is one thing. The problem is this team has built their entirety of their message in the D'Amico Ryans era on this swarm, right?
Yeah.
Like, what about what was done there? Sounds like relentless mentality or whatever, right? Like, none of the swarm is displayed in when your team needs you stepping up. And this team, very much so, like, we can say whatever we want about the execution or the efficiency or first downs and second downs or any of these other things, second half scoring. One of the things that is very abundantly clear, everybody in that locker room still abides by that message.
Team.
And I don't think you bring somebody in.
There is no team.
Yeah.
There is no team in that aspect at all.
And then my thing is, like, it's not certain he going to jump on the field right off.
That's true.
Like, because we got Devin White.
Yeah.
And he wasn't jumping on the field right off either. So
he jumped in there pretty quick, though.
Yeah. Well,
but he had to.
Yeah, but I don't know if he going to jump in if he was to come here.
That is one of the more bizarre things. Like you said, you know, the Devontae Davis thing was just funny because he retired. This was, I quit. I don't want to. I'm pouting. I don't like the decisions you made. This is everybody.
Even with Antonio Brown, the way he left. He knew he wasn't playing again.
Yeah.
He knew it was over.
Mm-hmm.
So he got in the Uber and left.
Yeah.
got in the Uber. That's so wild to think about.
No, seriously. But this guy, I'm sure he want to play still.
Yeah.
So that's not a good look for his career.
And that's a tough thing, right? And football ain't even necessarily one where you need, like, oh, well, I need a recommendation. But, like, everybody knows.
Yeah.
And people talk, right? And I imagine, just like what we're saying about the Texans here, maybe there's a team that is so desperate that eventually they overlook that. That's not going to be good. Like, just that mentality or having that label on you as being that kind of guy is going to be rough for him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is bad. Well, he's done. I mean, he's done.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing else to say.
Some more things around the NFL. Texans officially make a move, and they officially put Jalen Petrie on IR, the season-ending injury of the partially torn pectoral that he's going to have surgery for. So that move officially happened. When we also talk about moves, Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm-hmm.
will not play in this game against the Texans because the Dolphins waived him. He appeared in 9 games a season. Like, speaking of done, like, it's all the way done.
Yeah. Who's going to pick him?
I seen people throwing this out. Is he the most overrated player?
That's so tough.
I think he's probably on the list. He
had that 1 year in New York, man, where he was the man. Obviously, went to Cleveland, wasn't really that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also had a year.
He had a comeback year in L.A.
Yeah, in L.A. Yeah. where he was going to get hurt.
He was going to win the MVP.
He was going to be the Super Bowl MVP if he did not get hurt.
Yeah. Yep.
So, like,
he is overrated, right?
I always hesitate with that because that feels like such a
well, it's harsh. A shot, kind of. It feels like it, but if you're being honest.
Because, like, the talent was clearly there at a high level. There was a lot of misfortune for him when it came to some of these injuries. But, yeah, and then obviously just poor timing, like obviously how it worked in Cleveland with the Browns was not very good, whether it was, like, you know, not getting along well with Baker or also the injuries that Baker was playing through at that time. Yeah, and I mean, at least one thing you could say is that there's a little bit of disappointment in the overall arc of his career, considering the talent that he possessed.
And he didn't fulfill it.
No. Yeah. No, I think that's something that you could say. All right. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., ahead of the 125th Army-Navy game, which is presented by USAA. I've been, like, all show long, honestly, all day long, we were given one of these challenge coins that is obviously associated with the military. And it's one specifically for Army-Navy. If you're looking at the cam, you'll be able to see it just vaguely.
Got those cherry blossoms on it.
Yeah, cherry blossoms on it. There's a rope on it. There's a chain on it.
The White House.
Tons of meaning. Of course, the White House. Man, there's a lot of meaning with all of the things that are happening here, and it's been really a delight to be out here still early into it because there's still a lot of festivities to go. All right. We're still pretty early into the show as well. Mm-hmm. We take you till 2, as we always do on a Football Friday. And speaking of Football Friday, that means the coordinators talked yesterday. Let's hear from Bobby Slowick and his assessment of this team as you come off a bye week and you head into a game against the Dolphins. We'll do that next.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinking Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Here on Sports Radio 610, we, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula, are live from Washington, D.C. We're on the trip to see the Army-Navy, the 125th edition of the, you know, big-time game. It's very important to these fine institutions and, honestly, to a lot of people around the nation. I'm still trying to figure out which team I'm pulling for. Already on the text line, 713-572-4610, we've had people let me know I should be rooting for Army, so I don't know. It looks like I'm leaning that way. Maybe I'll continue to check and see if anybody Navy-wise comes in at anything and tells me that I need to roll that way. But as of right now,
maybe people gonna get they're gonna be riled up now.
I don't know. As of right now, it looks like it's go Army, be Navy. Like, that's what it feels like as of this moment. Y'all let me know. But today is Friday. It's a Football Friday. We're headed into Texans game versus the Miami Dolphins. And don't worry, we will be back on ground in Texas, in Houston, to see that game at NRG Stadium at 12. Of course, broadcast starts at 9 on the southeast corner of that stadium there with Sean and Seth. But we're moving towards that game, coming off of a bye, and on a Friday, we always want to hear what the coordinator talking about, specifically the offensive coordinator. That has been where a lot of attention has been with this team, especially with the, you know, kind of the up and down, or at least just the offense not necessarily hitting the marks that it feels like they should with all the talent they have. And so one of the things about the bye week is it offers a level of self-scout. And so this is Bobby Slowick 3 here, Chris. I was really interested to hear about his opportunity to self-scout, Bobby Slowick in particular, during the bye.
There was a lot of tape to watch. Like, that was a long stretch we had before we could really kind of gather ourselves and go back through that process. And I think the biggest thing that jumped out is the difference in when we execute and when we play to the standard that we know we're capable of and when we aren't quite playing to the standard that we know we're capable of. I mean, there was a particularly kind of in the middle of the season, like, there was a stark difference. And no one holds our, like, us to a higher standard than ourselves here and on offense. And, you know, we've done a great job the last 2 weeks of really honing in on that standard and putting that out there more consistently and more often, starting with practice. It showed up in practice for probably 4 weeks. Then eventually it makes its way to the games. And I think the last 2 weeks we've done a good job of that in the games, and we got to continue to do that. That's really what December football is about. You know, it's a really big deal. Making sure we're consistent in our execution and in our commitment to what we're doing.
It's so funny and frustrating sometimes because the same message has been resonating into the bye week from D'Amico Ryans, from Nick Caserio. You just heard it from Bobby Slowick. All we got to do is execute, man. All we got to do is execute. All we got to do is just do what we know we know. And at some point, I think I brought this up with you last week, Reggie. At some point, you know, if it's not resonating, if it's not executing, and this is going to be the big test, you know, with Miami coming off the bye week, let's see if they do make those changes and they do improve. At some point, you have to say it's not us, it's them. You know, it's the players are not getting either the messaging or the coaching or whatever it may be.
Yeah, and that's that. You hear a little bit of that in that cut there, Bobby Slowick. It feels like it's like, hey, when we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, it goes pretty
well. Okay, we all agree.
Which, first of all, like how do you feel about that assessment? Like, because he talked about the last couple of weeks, of course, a couple of games in which you lost to the Titans, scoring 27 points, and then you beat the Jaguars, but only put up 23. Yeah. Like, just that assessment in and of itself, and of course, like, I understand it's not like they were hitting on all cylinders or firing on all cylinders for the entirety of either of those games. It doesn't feel like they've really done that very much all season. But do you agree with the assessment, though, that just like the last couple of weeks they've put together better offense?
I mean, it depends on where you're looking. Like, if you're looking at pass protection, sure. But what has been sacrificed because of that? The run game. If you're looking at getting everybody involved as far as wide receivers, just hints, Nico, yes, and then maybe a game or two with Tank Dell and Mechie showing something. And I think that's part of the frustration with me as well. It's like we haven't had – I mean, the Texans clearly have not played a complete game. They just haven't. They haven't played a complete game where you go, okay, and I get it. The NFL, it's hard. This just in. It's very, very difficult. The proverbial, those guys get paid too. But you see teams putting together complete games
right
all the time, and they haven't done it.
No, that's absolutely the case. But I want to make sure that I'm not mischaracterizing Bobby Slowick in this talk, in what he says here. Hearing what we heard him say yesterday, does that feel like somebody was like, I self-scouted and I found some things that I can do better or that like we can do to kind of help put these guys in better position? Or does that feel like we're doing all that we can and it just has to play better?
It's almost like a little of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. But, I think he's confident. I mean, they're going to change something. And we know that just in terms of personnel, out of necessity because of Juice Scruggs being out, and maybe even without the necessity, they were going to make a change on the offensive line. So we know personnel-wise there's going to be another change. But I think he thinks he might have something figured out, but he's thought it before.
Speaking of the offensive line, Bobby Slowick, this is cut four here, Chris. He talked about the offensive line and how he feels they're playing better.
As individuals, we really wanted to emphasize growth. That's every individual up front. I think you could see from really where we were in the middle of the year to where we got to the last few weeks has done that. They've grown. I think LT is playing some of the best ball that he's played since I've been around, which has been really cool to see. And, you know, we got bright spots all the way across up front. And then there's been times, you know, in particular in the middle of the season where, like, we know we didn't play up to our standard. And most of it was just mental stuff that's controllable, stuff we can fix. And they've all embraced doing that. And the last 2 weeks, like our protection the last 2 weeks, it got a little leaky 2 weeks ago in the fourth quarter. But other than that, it's been very sound. You know, I think against Jacksonville, the only play off the top of my head is the first play of the game. And other than that, it felt like CJ could be really, really comfortable back there in the pocket. And we've given Joe some lanes to hit in the run game. Like, I really think all of them have continued to grow and really embrace what I've already referenced as far as let's emphasize what we do well and do it more often and do it more consistent.
Oh, man, I mean, it's just been mental breakdowns, Reggie. Just here and there. That's all it is. We'll clean that up. Week 15, boys. Week 15.
Yeah, and again, I'll ask you, do you agree with the assessment? Because I feel like that's some of the issue, or issue is probably not necessarily the right word, but that's some of what people are kind of frustrated with is like, is he assessing this properly? And I want to be careful because somebody said, like, on the text line, Slowick is lost. And I'm not certain. Like, that's one of the things that's tough for me to try and surmise a little bit from the outside. Because it does feel like different things have been tried at various points.
A lot of different things, yeah.
So it's not that there hasn't been some level of searching, but it's the lack of finding that's been kind of concerning, obviously. And if he's making – if he's giving you the assessment that he feels like the offensive line has been better, do you agree with that as well? Because pass protection – definitely, as we have said, it does look like it's stabilized in some ways. Even though they're, like, again, pressure numbers did go up a little bit. Was that the Titans game as well, right, where you had those pressure numbers tick back up? Unfortunately, I didn't have the opportunity to really dig deep into film yesterday with all the things happening. But it felt like, hey, okay, somewhat, but also not enough.
Yeah, and I think, like, what else is he going to do at this point?
Fair enough, you know, and that's a fair point to bring up, right?
There's a really very much a human element here,
where his hands are tied in some ways.
Well, his hands are tied in terms of personnel,
exactly,
and in terms of the. I think there's a certain recognition. These guys are not playing well, so his only thing to say outside of throwing them under the bus is it's execution. It's just mental.
Right.
You know, it's almost like sort of diverting attention from or just avoiding the reality that this team, some of these guys are just not playing as well as they thought or not as good as they thought they would be. And I think there's a little bit of, like, Bobby Slowick knows that there's a lot of this that falls on him. You know, why is there a mental disconnect? Why is, you know, is it execution? Is it the offensive line coach? Is it him? Is it play calling? You know, what is it? So he recognizes that. It's almost understandable what he's saying, but it doesn't make it any better. Again, week 15, boys.
For sure. Now, of course, all of that's like the self-scout stuff, and it can be frustrating to not feel like you're hearing answers, although, like, I do wonder what answers that were going to make us feel good that aren't going to hit the field, right?
Yeah.
So speaking of the field, your next time to do that is Sunday versus the Dolphins. I found this to be interesting, and I think obviously very much everyone else did. This was, and this is Slowick 1 here. This is Bobby Slowick talking about the idea, and he was asked, like, about the idea of how this team might cover Nico Collins and with the possibility of Jalen Ramsey being out there.
We kind of prepare every week. What if teams decide to match? What if teams don't? And what if they do both? And how we go into the game? I know all of our guys, all of our skills are really ready for whatever winds up happening, and we'll adjust. And Jalen's a really good player. He's been a really good player for a long time. I've gone against him, it feels like 10 times now. And every time I've gone against him, he's impacted the game in like a great deal in some way, shape, or form. And I anticipate that to be no different this week. I mean, we got a lot of respect for Jalen and what he does.
Talking Jalen Ramsey, maybe traveling with Nico or doing something.
Yeah, he did some traveling with Garrett Wilson last week.
Yeah, so, and I think he's right. I mean, that's just legit X's and O's there. They're probably going to mix it up, but certainly he's going to have his attention on Nico, because where's the threat otherwise, you know, that's proven week in, week out? It's what we're talking about, you know, the consistency.
Yeah, 100 and a touchdown feels like is a possibility. But I'm actually less concerned, and maybe this is a place where I'm actually worried that my lack of concern or, like, the lower level of concern might be me being too comfortable. I think watching back some of the Jets game, and I'm also going to look at a PFF to kind of support this, Jalen Ramsey in coverage hasn't been as good as typically advertised. Mm-hmm.
No, that's true.
And Garrett, he was one of those.
He got beat by Garrett Wilson.
He was one of those.
He broke his ankle.
Hooked up by Garrett Wilson.
It should have been a touchdown.
100%. And so the idea of, okay, they're going to have Ramsey follow, I trust Nico Collins.
Oh, sure.
To cook that man.
But that's
up
their best weapon against him.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm not sure that the best weapon has an issue. This is one of the places where I do gain a little confidence. Assuming that C.J. Stroud is hitting his marks like we know he can, but it feels like he hasn't done consistently. That's one of the things that actually gives me real confidence in this. And I understand what he's saying there, right? Like, you plan accordingly for all these different variations and permutations. I think that this might be a situation that you don't necessarily need to change up what you're doing if Jalen Ramsey is there. Go ahead and go to your strength, especially with this team.
Especially with Nico.
Needs to have strengths that carry kind of what they're doing.
No, I mean, and I don't think Nico is afraid of anybody. I don't think they're afraid to challenge anybody with Nico. I'm just saying that was a question, and that was that's what Miami figures to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that is their best defense against him.
Yeah, and especially, again, what do we talk about, like hitting strength on strength? It feels like this is one of those where go ahead and hit the middle of the field, let Nico Collins get him the ball in space and test if that defense for Miami is indeed tackling on this given Sunday, because if they're not, we know Nico Collins is just like, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's fluid. Let him go and in part win you this game. Also get the ball to Joe Mixon in space, I imagine, as well.
We'll
talk more about that at noon here on the program. But you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Overall, what was your – I feel like I'm grading. Have you grade the
I think we all do. You know about Bobby?
Yeah.
I think it's understandable, as I mentioned a second ago. But it's not fulfilling.
No.
It doesn't answer. I don't think it makes him look any better.
And it probably is fair to
and
also
the text
note,
board seems to agree with me.
It's also fair to probably note that I don't know what the answer would be.
Yeah.
That makes you feel great. Mm-hmm. Although there are some people that are in that place that are like, slow it, you know, none of this falls on the offensive coordinator. I can't say none of it, but I do feel like I've been trying a lot to find a balance in this. And I think I walked in one of these days on the show and kind of told you before that I feel like I'm actually lessening some of my, I don't know if criticism is the right word or whatever, the critique that I'm having of Bobby, because you see the various different challenges that he's dealing with, and you also see, again, him searching for answers and rolling through some things.
I think one thing we've learned is it is personnel. I don't know if it's
definitely a part of it.
I don't 100%. Know if it's only personnel.
And that comes,
but it is personnel.
And you got another one of those things that popped up. Of course, personnel is always an issue in the NFL. It's a game of attrition where dudes are literally running into each other. But you got another one of those curveballs thrown at you where we're going to see who plays left guard. Right? Just as you seem to, at least with Bobby Sloak's assessment of this, he feels like the offensive line is stabilized. Well, here comes
either change.
Kenyon Green or Zach Thomas, right? Can you find a similar stability that you feel like you found earlier with another guy having to step in? We'll see how all of that comes together. All right, you're in the loop. Right here on Sports Radio 610, we are in D.C. We're actually broadcasting from the Military Women's Memorial here right on National Mall in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, as we're here for Army-Navy, which is presented by USAA. Man, we're having a blast out here. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us as well. Coming up next, let's talk to one of the many people who are out here on Radio Row. He is a former Green Beret, a former NFL football player, former University of Texas, definitely a University of Texas alum, played football there as well. His name is Nate Boyer, and he comes to you next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula broadcasted live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. We're getting ready for the 125th edition of Army-Navy, which is presented to you by USAA. And right now, sitting down with us, joining us, is Mario Marquez, who is the Executive Director of Government Affairs and former Green Beret. I guess, should I say former, or do you always kind of get to call yourself
former? Mario was a Marine, so do we say former Marines?
We don't say former anything.
Very good, all right.
You can just say veteran.
Veteran, that's right. We got a couple of vets. Mario
Marquez. Marine. Always a Marine.
That's right. And Nate Boyer joining us now in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having us today.
Man, it is a great pleasure, particularly for me. So this is my first time coming to Army-Navy, so I'm taking all of this in brand new. So in order to kind of get a good idea of like where to focus, I wanted to ask you, gentlemen, what's your favorite part of this weekend all the way around?
For me, it's the camaraderie, the buildup, the hype that comes before the game, the inter-service rivalry and the competitive spirit, not just of the players and all the academy students on both sides, but the alumni, the American society saying, what's the big deal about these two military schools going toe-to-toe? It's everything. It demonstrates what it is to serve America and give back and be a part of a special team that, frankly, not everybody's a part of, but they can support and protect and defend our nation through.
One thing that I've been saying.
You don't want to let Nate give me any.
Oh, go ahead, Nate. Please do.
No, I mean, that from the buildup leads to, you know, the pageantry and everything that's, you know, the energy in the stadium and the feelings and, you know, from the flyover and the anthem and all that and the march on with the cadets and the midshipmen to the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you've ever been. I've been down on the field a couple of times at the end, and you get to see the emotion in the faces of especially the seniors from both academies, you know, whether they win or lose.
Right.
You know, the winning team gets to sing second. That's a big thing. The sing second is something that you say a lot. And just that, because it's like they understand what they're about to go do. And I think a lot of – and that whole stadium understands what they're about to go do. But also – you know, they're letting go of something. This is, you know, the last time, the last Army-Navy game, and about the last game. I mean, they're going to be playing bowl games, but you know what I mean? Like, that bowl game's not going to mean nearly what this one does. It's just that I think, is a very special and unique part of this.
It's very – first of all, it's kind of hard-hitting, you know, being here, you know, in the memorial and et cetera. But also, this is my, like – I think I was telling them I need to look it up, like, 9th or 10th one that I've been able to come to. And I started thinking on the flight over here, those guys that were here 10 years ago, my first – I mean, who knows what they're doing now? And that's the thing, to your point, Nate. I mean, it's like – this is something that now their lives are completely changed. Mm-hmm. But that part never goes away, does it? That connection to the game.
A lot of those guys right now are fighting for us. You know what I mean? They're somewhere in the world. And they're going to find a way to watch this game if they're able to.
Oh, sure.
Right? You know, but that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is something that is it's very special. The commitment they make. You know, not just to the men on their left and right on the gridiron, mm-hmm. but the men on the left and right and those that they need to lead for the next 4 or 24 years or whatever it ends up being.
So, Nate, you played professional football, and that's all fine and good, but I'd like to talk to the man next to you for a moment, if that's
Please.
Okay. Mario, I'm real interested. So you're joining us, American Legion. Can you explain to us, like, what you do, what the importance is of this role that you serve?
Sure. So I am the lead for the American Legion's Government Affairs Division, and I'm the primary liaison to the President of the United States, the Cabinet, Departments of State, Defense, and Homeland Security. And my whole purpose is to advocate and defend veterans, benefits and rights, and also to support our military establishment and their families who provide for the very freedoms that we have today. And the American Legion is made up of about 1.6 million members, veterans of all generations. We're in a multi-generational kind of veteran situation today. Mm-hmm. And so we're working to make sure that we reintegrate service members as they come out of the military back into society, make sure we help them find their place, reassert themselves, and take over positions of influence in society, because only the veteran community can revitalize the civil and military relationship. Okay. And those are influential members, things that Nate and I do. We have a responsibility to give back, even sometimes when we think we don't have to.
Yeah.
It's a never-ending cause that we will pursue, and I think Nate would agree with me on that.
100%. 100%. Yeah, it's a... You know, after service, like, it doesn't end. That's just who you
are.
No,
for sure.
You know, it becomes.
We talked about it when we sat down. Yeah.
Yeah, it just becomes a part of you. Like, you can't shake that. You know, you need your brothers. You need a mission. You need a purpose. You need to fight for something. And yeah, it's a lonely world out there. And after you serve at a high level, and you know, you're in those situations, and you're fighting for those who can't fight for themselves alongside. You know, your brothers and sisters in arms. When you come back, it can be tough, you know, because finding that same sense of purpose and, you know, coming back to oftentimes a divided nation that it's you feel like, you know, you have these thoughts that pop in your head. Was it worth it?
Yeah.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Like, what who am I now? Like, what you need advocacy, and you need organizations, you know, that are sort of set up to bring us together and to maintain that camaraderie and to help us navigate that transition and figure out what's next and find a new sense of purpose. And that's what the American Legion essentially does. That's what it did for me. You know what I mean? Is like knowing that there's a place I can go where there's going to be people that have experienced things like I've experienced. And that helps me reacclimate, you know, and reintegrate to society, because I don't feel alone and like nobody understands me. I know that there's plenty of people out there that do.
It's kind of funny because you guys, obviously in the military, I believe you were in for more than 30 years, Mario, but that's all structure. And then you get back, and a lot of times there is no structure anymore. You know, you found it in football, and you obviously, so that's kind of what you're saying here, like just some sort of organization again, or some sort of connection, you know, that's a structure.
It is. And, you know, Nate talks about being part of a team, and he was a part of some awesome teams on two ends of a spectrum.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And for me, the American Legion is a team that I can relate with. It allows me to kind of use some of the skill sets mm-hmm. and experience that I had in the military, and not only apply to the veteran community, but now it brings the American Legion credibility to national government. And so that's also a structure that I want to influence mm-hmm. on behalf of veterans, so that veterans and families and military can be taken care of better.
All right, so there's a lot of our listeners that this matters deeply about. Like, what's an access point for them to either get more information or even get involved if possible?
So it's really simple, legion.org, legion.org, or you can reach out to almost any veteran in your community. Reach out to me, and we can get you connected to a whole myriad of mentorship programs. Mm-hmm. We educate youth. We do Legion baseball. We do youth shooting sports. We teach civics education. During the recent hurricanes, American Legions became natural disaster response centers. Why? Because they're a part of the community. The community knows that there's an issue or they need help. They can go to that local American Legion. We also have American Legion virtual
virtual posts that they don't have a physical location. Yeah. And so you just Google it, look us up. We'll get a hold of you. We'll reach out to you. We're always looking to bring more veterans on board, and we're a growing entity and organization, and we're going to be around for another 105 years, which is what we've been to this point.
I want to talk a little football.
Yeah.
And I have a very bizarre question, but yeah. I think you're the perfect person to answer. So John Weeks.
Okay.
Texan center, 13.
Long snapper.
Long snapper. My bad.
Sir, that's a different
I believe this is his 13th season.
I believe that is correct.
Is there in your head, in your mind, is there a hierarchy of like greatest, you know, deep snappers? Who's on the list? I mean, he's got to be up there somewhere.
Wow. yeah. I mean, there's a lot of them. You know, I got to tip my hat to Joe Cardona,
okay,
who's a Navy graduate, and he's a long snapper for the Pats.
Right.
You know, so he's been up there. I think that's about his, boy, 8th, 9th, 10th year, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when I was learning how to do it, and I was coming out of the military and trying to figure out, you know, how to long snap. And I applied a lot of the how I learned to shoot a pistol to that.
It was interesting.
It was grip, stance, sight picture.
I can do that.
You know,
I
all
can
of
do
those
that.
Things. But Patrick Manley played for the Bears for a long time. He was somebody that I remember watching his stuff online and learning how to grip the ball. I mean, there's a lot of them.
13 years.
And those guys play a long. Yeah. Those guys play a long time. I think Manley played 17 years or something like that.
Crazy.
So yeah, they're all. it's one. It's got longevity. I was 34.
You're
old rookie, and the only shot I had was long snapping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like shooting a free throw. It's the same every time.
Yeah.
There's no good excuse why you can't be a
but
good free
pressure.
Throw shooter in the NFL.
Oh.
You just got to practice. But yeah, there's pressure.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that's funny for me is like it's one of those places where it has the most pressure of any of these positions where you can, you know, fail a little bit, of course, but not a long snapper, obviously kicker, the specialist. But the specialists often get the short end of the stick. Does that kind of irk you seeing the ways that, you know, maybe sometimes people will talk about specialists as maybe not being football players or things like that?
Well, I mean, they're football players. It is a unique position.
Right.
But, I mean, you got to do your job. You got to do it well, too. Like, if you don't, there's somebody that's right there waiting to take your spot. So, like, that's just the reality. Like, if you're not making your kicks or your snaps aren't accurate, you don't have a tight spiral, and, you know, you're not consistent, you shouldn't play. You know, you should get cut. And I got cut. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
The other guy was better than me. And that's just how life works. But you should be dang good at your job because it you do have one job.
Right.
And you're doing that.
True.
You really do.
True.
Well, I think with our Texans team right now, there's been a lot of conversations about execution, about like mental mistakes. Obviously, like being in the service, I imagine that factors in. But, like, do you have any tips or tricks that helped you with, you know, avoiding mental mistakes, keeping your execution crisp that we could maybe pass on to the folks?
Hey, aim small, miss small. Slow is smooth, smooth is fast. I mean, all these things, these principles we learn in the military, they absolutely transfer over. And it's just, it's learning how to focus on one thing. I mean, take golf, for example. A lot of people play golf. If you have more than one swing thought going on in your head, that thing's going sideways.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. you gotta focus on one thing, you know, and then once that one thing becomes muscle memory,
now
then you can
tell
focus
me.
On something else, you know.
Yeah.
But that's how it works.
So there you go. We're joined by Mario Marquez, Nate Boyer of American Legion. Again, just Google up American Legion, and you can tap into this this fantastic, robust network of veterans and having that government affairs link into it. We appreciate you five fellas, one for your service and two for giving us some of your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we're still gearing up on a football Friday for Texans Dolphins. And so let's talk about it. Texans win because, Texans lose because. 713-572-4610. What are the factors that will contribute to either a Texans victory or a loss on Sunday? We'll do that next.